Lecture 13, Consistency and Stability of Personality.
The concept of personality implies that people show a certain degree of consistency in how they respond across different situations. And it also implies that their characteristic patterns of behavior are somewhat stable over time. The notion of personality would not make any sense at all if how people think and feel and behave wasn't reasonably consistent over situations and stable over time. But people obviously don't act the same way all of the time. And of course, people's personalities do change over the course of their lives, at least within limits. This variability raises questions about the nature of personality, and it has led some behavioral scientists to question the importance of personality in understanding behavior. And in fact, some have even questioned whether personality exists. In this lecture, we're going to look into these questions. First, by talking about the consistency of people's behaviors and emotions across different situations, and then by looking at the degree to which personality is stable over time. I mentioned earlier that to understand people's behavior fully, we have to consider both their personal psychological characteristics and the nature of the situation that they're in at the moment, their environment. All thoughts, emotions, and behaviors are influenced to some extent by people's internal psychological characteristics and by the features of the situations in which they find themselves. To think about these two sets of influences, let's consider the trait of, let's say, agreeableness. We could take any characteristic, but let's use agreeableness. If we could send an invisible researcher to follow you around and record how agreeably you act in every situation that you're in for the next several weeks, we would find that your level of behavioral agreeableness would vary a great deal across various situations. Sometimes you're exceptionally friendly, agreeable, and nice. Sometimes you're moderately friendly and agreeable. And sometimes you're not very agreeable at all. In fact, you might be critical and grumpy or downright nasty. These differences in how agreeable or disagreeable you act are mostly due to differences in the situations you're in. You're probably less agreeable when other people are hard to get along with, or when the situation is frustrating, or perhaps when you haven't been able to get enough sleep. We all vary in how agreeable we are across different situations. Now let's imagine that this invisible researcher who's following you around gives you a rating from, say, 1 to 10 in every situation to indicate how agreeable you are in that situation. If we plotted these ratings of your agreeableness across hundreds of situations on a graph, we'd find that they fall into one of those classic normal bell-shaped distributions. I'm talking here about a graph that shows how agreeably you personally tended to behave across many situations. This graph would show a peak somewhere along that 10-point rating scale, from highly disagreeable to highly agreeable. And that peak would show the level of agreeableness that you tend to display more than any other level. But you didn't behave at that particular level of agreeableness in every situation. Sometimes you were more agreeable or less agreeable than your most common level of agreeableness. Now imagine that our invisible researcher followed 100 people around for a few weeks and created a graph like this for each of these individuals. These graphs would show us three important things that are relevant to the question of consistency in personality. First, different people's graphs would peak at different places on our 1 to 10 agreeableness scale. Some people's behaviors would tend to be mostly low in agreeableness. Maybe they'd peak at about a 3 on the scale. Other people would generally show a moderate level of agreeableness. Maybe their peak on the graph is at 5 or 6. And some people might typically show a high level of agreeableness with a peak at 8 or 9. These differences in where people's graphs peak reflect differences in their personalities. When we look at people's agreeableness across many situations, some people tend to behave more agreeably overall than other people do. People's general or average level of agreeableness differs. The second thing these graphs would show us is that no matter where their peak is, everybody shows variability in their agreeableness. Even the people who are usually most agreeable sometimes behave disagreeably. And the people who are usually disagreeable sometimes act in a friendly and agreeable way. These differences that we see in a given person's behavior across situations are due to factors operating in those different situations. Third, people would differ in the amount of variability they show in agreeableness across situations. Whatever their most common level of agreeableness, wherever their graph peaks on the 1 to 10 scale, some people show more variability around their typical level of agreeableness than other people do. Well, what does that mean? Maybe you and I are both moderately high in agreeableness overall. Maybe both of our graphs peak around a rating of 7 on the 10-point scale. But if we look at the variability in our agreeableness around that point, your agreeableness across different situations might vary mostly from 6 to 8. You're almost always moderately high in agreeableness. But maybe my agreeableness varies mostly from 4 to 10 on the scale. I have the same average level of agreeableness that you do. We both peak at 7 on the scale. But I show more variability in how agreeable I am across different situations than you do. Even though our general, most typical level of agreeableness is the same, I vary more than you do, even dipping down into the disagreeable range more often than you. Psychologically, what that means is that my agreeableness is affected more by situational factors than yours is. Or to look at it the other way, you show more consistency in how agreeable you are across different situations than I do. Agreeableness is a more influential part of your personality than it is mine. I used agreeableness as an example, but this point applies to every personality characteristic. People differ not only in how they tend to behave on every personality dimension, in their average level of extroversion or anxiety or agreeableness or whatever. But they also differ in how consistently they behave on each dimension across situations. You can see these differences among people pretty easily. You can probably think of certain people who consistently behave in a particular way. They're pretty consistently extroverted or neurotic or closed-minded or whatever. You're rarely surprised by how they behave on that dimension because they're so consistent. With other people, though, you don't know quite what to expect. Who's going to show up today? Extroverted John or introverted John? Sometimes Susan is emotionally stable and resilient, and other times she's a neurotic mess. These people are harder to predict because their behavior varies more. Researchers have found it challenging to deal with these differences in variability in their research. When we measure personality with a standard self-report personality questionnaire, we do a pretty good job of assessing the person's dominant tendency. But we don't get much information about how much the person's behavior varies around that tendency. In 1968, psychologist Walter Mischel started a firestorm of controversy when he noted that the average correlation between two measures of the same behavior taken at different times was rather low. Imagine that we measure how moral or how outgoing a bunch of people are in one situation and then measure how moral or outgoing those same people are in another situation. Their level of morality or outgoingness in the first situation will be only weakly related to how moral or outgoing they are in the second situation. Now, I'm not sure why that surprised anybody. People have to adjust their behavior to fit the particular situation they're in. But even so, Michelle's commentary on personality inconsistency led some psychologists to question whether personality even exists. They reasoned that if how people act in one situation isn't strongly related to how they act in another situation, then maybe there's no such thing as personality. Michelle himself later offered an interesting resolution to the controversy about consistency that he started. He suggested that it's useful to think of personality as a very large set of conditional if-then rules that guide our behavior. In his view, personality is a system of if-then cognitive associations. Let me explain what that means. People obviously tailor their behavior to the situation that they're in, and they often do so pretty automatically. It's as if we have rules in our mind that say things like, if the situation is A, then do X. But if the situation is B, then do Y. Now, some of these if-then rules are shared by just about everybody. If the situation is a party, then be lively and funny. If the situation is a funeral, then be sedate and solemn. These mental rules automatically guide us to behave differently in different situations. But each of us also have our own idiosyncratic if-then rules that may differ from other people's. You might have a rule that says, if at first you don't succeed, try again. I might have a rule that says, if at first you don't succeed, quit and do something else. You might have a rule that says, in a disagreement, look for a way to compromise. I might have a rule that says, in a disagreement, stand your ground. The idea that personality operates according to if-then rules, which is known as the Cognitive Affective Processing System, or CAPS model, can explain both consistency and variability in behavior. If you have an if-then rule that says, if you're at a party, then be lively and funny, you will probably be outgoing and humorous when you go to parties. So you'll display a rather consistent pattern of behavior in that particular context when you go to parties. But the fact that you have a different if-then rule about how you should behave at a funeral means that you won't act the same way at funerals as you do at parties. Now, this might look like inconsistency. Sometimes you're really funny and sometimes you're not. You're not being consistent. But you're actually behaving very consistently at parties and very consistently at funerals. The if-then rules that control your behavior are simply specific to each situation. Within the CAPS model, personality differences between people show up in how much of the time a person responds the same way across different situations. In how many different situations is your behavior guided by the same general if-then rule? If your if-then rules for many different situations specify the same behavior, you will manifest a broad personality trait that transcends different situations. So imagine that you have a rule that says, if you're at a party, then be humorous. And you have a rule that says, if you're in a meeting, then be humorous. And one that says, if you're on a date, then be humorous. And if you're standing in line at the grocery store, then be humorous. If your if-then rules specify that the response to many situations is to be humorous, you'll be a pretty consistently humorous person. But if you have a rule that says, if you're at a party, then be humorous, but have another rule that says, if you're in a meeting, then be serious, and one that says, if you're on a date, then be attentive, and if you're standing in line, then be quiet, you won't be a globally humorous person overall. You won't show a broad personality trait that transcends many situations. But again, you will be consistent within each of those situations. Humorous at parties, serious at meetings, attentive on dates, and quiet in grocery lines. So, aspects of your personality are situation specific. You consistently behave the same way in the same sorts of situations, but you don't necessarily behave consistently across different situations because those situations often have different if-then rules for you. Michelle's CAPS model was important in clarifying that personality consistency doesn't necessarily mean that you always act exactly the same way. It means that you tend to act roughly the same way when you're in the same situation on different occasions. Another factor that influences the consistency of our behavior is that we all have many aspects to our personality. And these different characteristics may push us to respond in competing ways. Any one trait by itself may exert a consistent influence on our behavior, but other tendencies may sometimes move us in other directions. Imagine that a college student is studying for a test when his friends drop by to invite him to join them for drinks. Will he go out instead of studying? Let's set aside situational influences, such as how important the test is, how much studying he still has to do, and his relationships with these particular friends, and let's think just about his personality. If I tell you that this student is very high in achievement motivation, you might predict that he'd decline the invitation to go out and he'd keep studying. But what if I tell you that he's not only achievement motivated, he's also highly extroverted? Well, now it's a little less clear. His extroversion will push him toward a different decision than his achievement motivation. And what about if he has a high need for acceptance and belonging? And he scores very high on a scale that measures FOMO, the fear of missing out. There really is such a scale. Any one of these characteristics would lead us to make a reasonably confident prediction of what the student might do. But he has attributes that push his behavior in different directions. And we might imagine that if faced with this choice between studying and going out with friends over many occasions, he might make a different decision each time. In each case, his choice would be consistent with certain aspects of his personality, but inconsistent with others. But overall, it would look like he was behaving inconsistently. So people display consistencies in how they respond across different situations, but it's not as straightforward as people's personality characteristics manifesting all of the time in all situations. The consistencies in people's personalities are more nuanced and probabilistic than that. That's why I usually refer to personality characteristics as tendencies to think, feel, or do certain things. Personality is related to the probability that people will respond in a particular way. Not only do situational forces affect behavior, as a people accommodate to norms and rules, other people's wishes and other factors, but various aspects of our personalities may nudge us in opposing directions. And as a result, people show a certain amount of consistency from situation to situation, but they display variability and inconsistency as well. In addition to consistency across situations, a separate question involves how stable personality is over time. How much do people's personalities change? Usually, when we talk about whether something is stable over time, we're talking about what's called absolute stability. So if I say that my weight has been stable for the last 5 years, it means that I weighed myself 5 years ago, and I weighed myself today, and there hasn't been much change in how much I weigh. But personality isn't like weight, because there aren't any absolute standards for quantifying most personality characteristics. If I want to know how extroverted you are, for example, how do I find out? Well, I can have you complete self-report measures of extroversion, or I can observe you in social interactions, or I can have other people who know you well rate how extroverted you are, all sorts of ways. And for studying personality differences among people, that's fine. We're trying to understand psychological differences among people, what makes you different from the rest of us, so we don't need an objective standard criterion like a bathroom scale that measures extroversion. All we need to do is to have a way to quantify differences in extroversion among people. And researchers have many ways to do that. But if we're trying to understand personality stability and change over time, the lack of a single absolute criterion that we can use across the lifespan creates problems and ambiguities. Let me explain. Consider a characteristic such as self-control. Let's say we want to know whether self-control as a personality trait is stable over time. So we get a sample of a few hundred two-year-olds, and we measure their self-control in various ways. Then we bring these same kids back for retesting 20 years later, when they're 22 years old, and measure their self-control again. How stable would their self-control be over that 20 years? Well, we have a couple of problems. First, the tasks that we had used to measure self-control in a two-year-old are very different than we'd use to measure self-control in a 22-year-old. It's unavoidable. That's not like weight, where we can use the same scales to weigh two-year-olds and 22-year-olds. And if we can't use exactly the same measures, then how can we compare self-control at age 2 to self-control at age 22? In addition, even if we did have a single measure of self-control that worked on all ages, our data will certainly show that all of these kids' self-control changed a great deal from age 2 to age 22. All of them would show much more self-control as young adults than they did as toddlers. So in one sense, their personalities were very unstable when it came to self-control. They changed a lot. But this gigantic age-related change in self-control is obscuring the possibility that individuals' levels of self-control are actually very stable when compared to people of their own age. Imagine that we rank ordered all of the kids when they were 2 years old from lowest to highest in self-control. And we rank ordered the participants again based on their self-control scores at age 22. We would find a high degree of stability in where each person ranked at age 2 and age 22 compared to the rest of the sample. The children who were comparatively low in self-control when they were 2 will probably be comparatively low when they're 22. And those who are high in self-control compared to other 2-year-olds will tend to have high self-control when compared to other 22-year-olds. Again, absolute stability and self-control would be very low. Everybody's self-control increased a lot. But rank order stability would be high because people maintained their relative position in the sample. Sure, there would be some shifting around, but individual differences in self-control would be a rather stable trait across a 20-year span. So, to understand stability fully, we need to consider both this rank order stability that involves how much people change relative to other people, as well as whether the average level of particular traits, such as self-control, changes over time. Personality becomes more stable as people get older, both in terms of rank order stability and absolute stability. So, in the 10-year span between ages 5 and 15, we certainly see some stability in personality. But we see more stability in the 10 years between ages 15 and 25, And we see even more stability between, say, 45 and 55. Sure, people can change throughout their lives. But in general, personality becomes more stable with age, and stability peaks somewhere between age 55 and 65. But why? Why does personality become increasingly stable with age? First, as we get older, we develop more and more habitual ways of responding to situations. When you were a child or a teenager, you hadn't developed much of a personal style yet. You hadn't developed standard ways of dealing with life. But as you got older and had more experiences, you developed habits that you began to rely on without thinking much about them. Second, your environment stabilized more and more as you got older. In childhood and adolescence and even young adulthood, you probably wandered through a large assortment of classes and teachers and friends and peer groups and interests, relationships and activities. So your environment fluctuated a good deal over time, calling for a wide variety of reactions. Compare that to how life is for people in their 30s or 40s and older. By their 30s, life stabilizes some, and most people settle down a bit. They get a stable job. They develop a single close relationship. They pursue fewer new activities, and their days become more routine. Certainly, there are often big changes. People change jobs, move to a new town, have children, see their relationships break up. But most people go for longer periods of time without big changes compared to when they were children or teenagers. So, not only does our environment stabilize more as we get older, but we also have fewer experiences that change us as dramatically as the extensive developmental changes that occur in childhood and adolescence. And these changes aren't as random or as dictated by other people as when we're younger. They're based on our own choices and behaviors, which means that the environments that we create and seek out and end up in are based to a large extent on our personality. So, whatever our personality inclinations were to begin with, we gradually create a lifestyle and a life environment that supports and strengthens those characteristics. And that consistent lifestyle and environment makes our personality increasingly stable over time. Another reason that personality becomes more stable as we get older is that our identity stabilizes. Our view of who we are and what we're like is pretty malleable in childhood and adolescence. When we're young, each new experience has the potential to change our views of ourselves and thus to change how we behave in the future. But with age and experience, we come to see ourselves as a certain kind of person with particular abilities and traits, with certain beliefs and values, and with certain ways of dealing with situations. Those views of ourselves provide a reference point for reacting to situations and making decisions. And because our identity is stabilized, our ways of responding become more consistent than they were when we were younger. Although we see greater stability in personality as people get older, people can and do change throughout life. There's never a point where your personality is etched in stone and has no chance of changing. New experiences, new life events, and new roles can always change the way we operate. And sometimes people intentionally try to change themselves, as when someone decides to work on anger management, or start meditating, or write out a bucket list that leads them to behave in highly uncharacteristic ways. But they typically change less because of the reasons I just described. Dozens of longitudinal studies have tracked people's personalities over extended periods of time. And across these studies, we have data that includes people from birth up till 101 years old. So we can see how the average level of certain personality characteristics changes with age. Here we're talking about average age-related changes in personality. and not whether people maintain their relative rank order position among others their age. Some of this work has addressed the question of whether people become more well-adjusted as they get older. You might expect that life experiences would guide people into increasingly more adaptive and mature ways of dealing with life. So we might see a general shift toward more functional personality profiles throughout life. Is that true? The answer seems to be yes. For example, on average, neuroticism decreases with age. People seem to have fewer negative emotions and tend to cope better with the things that happen as they get older. People also tend to become more conscientious and responsible on average as they get older. Just compare the average 20-year-old with the average 40-year-old. You'll see big individual differences in both groups, but the 40-year-olds will be more conscientious on average. Agreeableness also tends to increase with age. The average person tends to become kinder, friendlier, and more agreeable as they get older. Together, lower neuroticism, higher conscientiousness, and higher agreeableness seem to be positive changes, both for the individuals themselves and for the people around them. The picture for age-related changes in extroversion is a bit muddy. It looks like some aspects of extroversion change with age, but others don't. In particular, people tend to become more dominant and assertive as they get older. But how outgoing or sociable they are on average doesn't change overall. The average level of openness doesn't seem to change with age. It's not that people don't change in how open they are, but there's no consistent pattern. Some people become more open as they get older. Some become more set in their ways, and others don't change. So personality shows an interesting mix of stability and change as people go through life. Certain things about your personality are quite similar to what you were like when you were younger. People who haven't seen you since you were a kid will probably detect certain tendencies that you displayed many years ago. Yet, you literally aren't the same person that you were earlier in life. And you're not exactly the same person that you're going to be in the future.